Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Countdown to Freedom. Countdown to Freedom. We've got 36 days before the election, November the 3rd. Howbeit, I doubt very seriously that we'll have a determination of the vote on November the 3rd, unless we, the people, overwhelmingly go out and vote. The election of Donald J. Trump must be an overwhelming number, or there's going to be the count and the recount to try to prevent the election going to President Donald J. Trump. I believe that we are going to see some massive voter fraud with massive ballot harvesting and granny voting, if you will. We need to understand what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about in a comparison and contrast of what we have today under the Constitutional Republic and the free system that we have in America. We're talking about what we have in that with national sovereignty, with our Constitutional Republic, with our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our religious liberties, and our right to keep and bear arms, our freedom of speech. But, ladies and gentlemen, if a decision is made by the majority vote in America for a Biden-Harris administration, we'll have a no-borders America. We'll have no sovereignty. We'll have much higher taxes and extreme increase in regulations on our lives. Abortion will include up to and even after birth. The sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ agenda, with Nancy Pelosi at the helm, as she's already said, that the LGBTQ agenda will trump anything of religious liberties. Our churches and Christian institutions will be controlled by the government, not by God. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal mandate to wear a mask under Joe Biden administration will take place, as he has said. Perhaps you think that wearing a mask is wonderful. Perhaps you're one of the ones that I see on the highway driving down the street with your latex gloves on, your windows roll completely up, your air conditioning going full blast, and a mask on. Do you get the picture? We have become sheeple rather than people. We have come to think somehow, some way, because of COVID-19, that somehow, some way, the government's supposed to control we the people. It's we the people that a constitutional republic puts in charge and not the elected officials. Our elected officials are to do what we the people say, and we the people should make the decision on what we believe our Constitution gives us rights, freedoms, and liberties to do. Here's an article by a physician. Harmful effects on wearing a mask. Masking, just one step more toward the mandatory future vaccination and ultimate total control of the citizens. That's the subtitle. For those of you who know me, I've been a physician for nearly 40 years. I've written several articles at this time on COVID-19, and you may read under my name at newswithviews.com. This is by Dr. John Ure. From my research, I determined not to wear gloves, not to wear a mask, and have nothing to do with them. And if, in fact, this disease is caused by the virus, they are 1/10 of 1 micron in size. It is also reported that the smallest pore size of a mask is approximately 3 microns. This means that a virus would have absolutely no problem moving through the mask. It has been related to, and he's quoting again, as I've quoted so many times on this broadcast, this portion he's quoting from the OSHA website, it has been related that it would be like the equivalent of using a chain link fence to stop swarms of mosquitoes getting into your face. Over 150 doctors participated in the program, and the question was asked of them, how many of you think that we should not be wearing masks? Raise your hands. They did not take time to make an exact count, but estimated 70 to 80% of the doctors raised their hands. They then asked if they thought that mask wearing does little to protect from infection. The number was still between 70 and 80% of the physicians present. Experts have pointed out that why mask is in fact detrimental to your health. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me harp on this. You've heard me talk about this for days and days and days and days in the past several months. Mask will destroy your health. We have had one of our legislators in Tallahassee, Sabatini. Sabatini has Representative Anthony Sabatini. He is a lawyer and a state representative. He has filed suit, about 15 suits now ongoing in the state of Florida, against the lockdown measures and against the mask-wearing mandates by some of the mayors in our cities. The governor never said in the state of Florida he had to wear a mask. Multitudes of our mayors have. Going back to this article, experts have pointed out why masks are detrimental. It is imperative that we have the adequate oxygen supply, this physician says. It is well known that we breathe oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. It has been reported there have been episodes of drivers driving automobiles and subsequent car crashes as a result of mask wearing. The question begs to be asked why. It's because the oxygen level shuts down their agility and their ability to handle and to think rapidly to handle an automobile. It's called DYSPNEA, dysphenia. It's the condition of decreased oxygenization, and this is what is occurring when one is wearing a mask. The buildup of carbon dioxide is referred to as hyperphenia, and it also represents one wearing a mask, one who is when wearing a mask. One does not want to have the imbalance of a low O2 and a high CO2. Also, the interior of the mask tends to capture both viruses and bacteria and concentrates them on the interior of the mask. In a short time, the mask becomes contaminated. There are reports individuals are wearing a mask some 8 to 10 hours a day. When one is experiencing this, the body is experiencing stress. When this occurs, the adrenaline glands secrete cortisone to help correct the situation. Cortisone is an anti-inflammatory. This is the same situation that develops in the fight or flight syndrome, such as being scared by a bear in the woods. Also, adrenaline is released and the heart rate and the respiratory rate increases. When this occurs, the immune defense mechanism of the body is impaired. The end result is that one is more susceptible to catching the disease rather than repelling the disease. In fact, what one is trying to prevent occurs more readily and more rapidly than you would ever suspect, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about under a Biden-Harris administration. If you have appreciated the forced mask wearing today, then you should appreciate a Biden-Harris administration. Joe Biden has said he's going to have a federal mandate to force everyone to wear a mask. In fact, across America today, the Looney Tunes have gone nuts. Totally bananas, bonkers, with enforcing the mask wearing. Here's an article that says a cop wrestles with a lady to cuff her for not wearing a mask. A smartphone video capturing the incident showed the officer wrestling for several minutes with the mother as she resisted, insisting that she could not be arrested for not wearing a mask. Jack Windsor, an investigative reporter for the television station, wrote on his site that the Ohio star, that Kitts, that's the lady's name, was arrested by an officer by the Logan Police Department because she was not wearing a mask. And I could go on and on and on. I've got a sheaf of articles about 5 inches thick, ladies and gentlemen, across America where incident after event after event, where police officers get involved in wrestling a person down, tasing the individual for not wearing a mask, handcuffing them, arresting them, stuffing them in the automobile, and driving off because of not having a mask. Ladies and gentlemen, I am petrified with the thought of 36 days from now having a Biden-Harris administration in America. It will destroy what we've experienced for 244 years in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I believe we have a call on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
There is so much going on right now in the midst of these weeks before this election. So many of these states are adjusting rules to supposedly encourage more people to vote. North Carolina, they adjusted a rule so that you could come in, even if you didn't sign your ballot, if you didn't fill out your ballot, you could be contacted and just correct it, add the little things you need. Keep in mind, this would open the door for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of ballots to come in incomplete, and then we're going to contact the people, and then you just go ahead and finish it up for us. Of course, a lawsuit has been filed on that because it's chaos. It would literally open the door for an election that wouldn't be settled until halfway through 2021. But you also have the voter suppression polls. These polls that one after another come out and show Biden at 6 points ahead, 8 points ahead, 10 points ahead, 12 points ahead. And you go, that's absurd. By the way, folks, if you're like me, I've gotten a lot of polling calls in the past few months. I've hung up on every single one of them. There were times in the past I go, man, I wish they'd call me. I wish they'd call me. Now it's like, guess what? I want you to go ahead and put out that poll that skins your ignorance, because just like in 2016, I think there will be overwhelming support for Donald Trump. You know, they showed Hillary Clinton with an absolute landslide victory on her hands, and that didn't work out that way. So. You know, those things, along with, we have the New York Times coming out with supposedly Donald Trump's tax returns, and they're gonna slow walk this out. They're gonna try to every single day come out with another point, another point, another point. I'm thinking, if what they have is real, and I don't know, it's highly suspect. It's the New York Times, and what do you expect? But if what they have is real, they are playing to ignorant voters. Now, I hate to say that, but folks, if you think that writing off $200,000 of landscaping at Mar-a-Lago is somehow or another cheating the system, or somehow or another not paying your fair share, that's the kind of stuff they're pitching, by the way. So you have a golf resort and you have a $200,000 expense related to landscaping, and that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. They are playing to low information voters. They're playing to low information voters, and the masses out there, Trump supporters out there, I think they keep playing the same game over and over and over. He's going to take away your Social Security. How many times have they tried that against conservatives, against Republicans over the past 50 years? Every single election is the answer. Every single election they roll out the same thing. Has Trump decimated your Social Security in the past 4 years? Nope. Do you think he's gonna? Nope. You know, they keep trashing him on this wall. Keep in mind, you just said it. They'd love to have open borders. They would love to have open borders. I've said this before. I used to shoot from the hip and say, I believe those illegal aliens prefer Democrats. And guess what? Pew Research proves that they do. 31.5% of illegal aliens identify as left, leftist, or Democrat. 4% identify as Republicans. So guess what? They do want the wide open border. While we invite people from around the world to come here, because they also want socialized medicine. I'm sorry, they call it free health care, free access to medicine. There's no such thing as free. They need to remove that from the lexicon of the English language. But the scam after the scam after the scam after the scam, we won't be fooled again. We won't be fooled again.
If we go that direction, Greg, if we the people, put Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in office, we will have a total socialist, Democrat, BLM, Communist Party leading America. Is there the potential of ever reversing that?
They say you can vote your way into socialism, but you'll have to shoot your way out. Venezuela, Hugo Chavez was elected with overwhelming support. So can they do that? Yes, history says you can do that. Adolf Hitler was given the power that he had, and the dictatorial power that he had. They had the enabling legislation. Literally, the parliament there voted to give him the authority to do the things that he did. So can people do stupid things? Absolutely. Can they elect socialists? Absolutely. Can we step our way back? I believe if we have an election in which socialists are elected, and Biden, I don't think he started as a socialist, but now he's a shell of a candidate. He's a hollow man. He's an empty suit. He is whatever the party wants him to be. He is whatever Nancy Pelosi wants him to be. He is anything that AOC wants him to be. The alliance with what's the other? Bernie Sanders is off the charts. And pretty well everything Bernie Sanders wanted, Joe Biden has now adopted. Once America goes that path, and I pray this never happens, once America goes that path, there's no turning back. Because we've already seen they're willing to change all the rules. They're willing to upend the entire system to maintain power. In the last 8 years under Barack Obama, every agency you can imagine was used for political purposes. We're seeing more and more and more of that come to light. Every single day we see that the DOJ, the FBI, had power players inside that were bending all the rules, changing all the rules, upsetting the standards, the norms of operating procedures in order to give advantage to the left, to the Democrats. What happens when they undo the Electoral College? Checks and balances will have evaporated. What happens when they're willing to jail people like General Flynn, but the same kind? Now, the alleged abuse of General Flynn was lying to the FBI one time. That's what they allege. Now, that's after they massaged all the data and erased the original interview notes of this and that. I mean, I don't think we've seen those interview notes, so I'm going to assume they've been erased. Notes that supposedly agents said they didn't think that he had lied, but the details, of course, kind of disappeared. If they're willing to arrest an individual like that, put them in jail. However, on the other side, you can lie to Congress. You can lie to the FBI, and that's fine. Understand that that's not equal protection under the law, is it? That's not equal enforcement of the law, is it? When they start to use the system and what they can consider judicial discretion, that's what they call it, folks, when they choose to prosecute one person and not prosecute another. Let's just say you get caught in a pack of speeders and you happen to be the one person that's red, yellow, black, or white. You happen to be the one person that's Christian, Jew, or whatever. And they go, we're going to single you out. You're going to get a ticket. Everybody else, y'all go home. You're good. That's using discretion, right? Law enforcement discretion. Well, the left has learned to use that to their advantage. Today they're emptying jails and prisons because of COVID-19. But they're willing to take conservatives, they're willing to take Republicans, they're willing to take Christians and put them in the same jails that are being emptied because of COVID-19. Do you understand what's going on? All the rules are being stood on their head in order for the left to gain power.
Greg, you touched on the COVID-19 and the what's taking place as a result of that. You know, in the state of Florida, there were 765,000 felons in prisons. 765,000. Now, I don't know how many of those have been let out, but Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, has put up $100 million for Joe Biden's election in the state of Florida. And he's also put up some $16 million to pay the fines and the fees and the court costs for felons so that they can vote. And he has openly, publicly said that that would help Joe Biden. Is that legal or is it illegal? Can you buy votes like that?
Right. He's attempting to buy votes, and I believe an investigation has already been begun in the state of Florida by the Attorney General's office. When you selectively say, you know, we're not just putting – he's not saying I'm going to give a pool of money to pay back felons, cost and cost associated with their incarceration for their whatever, basically their full debt to society. He's not saying across the board. He's picked segments, groups that he believes will – support Democrats. And by doing that, he said, hey, I will bribe you, is what it sounds like. I'll bribe you. I'll pay you to go to the polls and vote for Democrats. Now, it's been kind of a no secret, open secret that Democrats find themselves allied with leftists and anarchists and socialists and felons. Because if you step back in time, the governor of Virginia, McAuliffe, by the single stroke of a pen, tried to restore the voting rights of 125,000. Check me, maybe I'm wrong by 10,000. I think it was 125,000. He tried to restore their voting rights just before the 2016 election, as I recall. And the court said, you can't do that. You know, that this is a one-at-a-time procedure. You would have to sign each one of these restorations, essentially, you know, under your right as a governor to pardon or commute. And it's commuting part of a sentence, essentially. And it turns out that they threw it out. He couldn't do that all at once. But just before the election, he did, by auto pen, restore the voting rights of 30 or 40,000, as I recall. So 30 or 40,000 signatures by Otto Penn. But this game has been played for some time. Leftists within the Democratic Party see their natural allies within the felony class within our community.
That is exactly right. Greg, let's take a few minutes. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our sons. We got four sons. I'm thankful for each of them. Greg is one that loves the Lord, lives up in the mountains of Tennessee, and he says when the rapture comes, he'll get there, get to heaven sooner because he's closer in the mountains in Northeast Tennessee. I'm thankful that you have the opportunity to call in today for us to talk. Greg, I'm looking at a document here, and I want to make a transition to talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her demise, and Amy Coney Barrett, that is the nominee to replace her. And multitudes of the Democrats are in hysteria, with the hair on fire because of thinking about replacing Ginsburg with a conservative. But I'm going to read you a few lines from a mega article on that subject. It is claimed that Ginsburg was a champion of women's rights, but her pro-abortion rulings annihilated all rights for millions of unborn women, an illicit repeal of the most fundamental human right, the right to life without due process of law. At her funeral, we observed dozens of her past law clerks, all white, none black. During her 27 years on the Supreme Court, she employed only one black law clerk, one out of 100. And over the course of her 13 years on the circuit court, she never had a single black law clerk, intern, or secretary. Out of 57 employees, zero blacks. In 40 years, one black assistant. Further, the article states, Ginsburg court decisions, a Democrat abortion activism, having contributed to the extermination of blacks, terminating half of the black births. During her 40-year anti-life tenure, 15 million blacks died of abortion, a number equal to half of the U.S. total black population back in 1990. Even though she believed that Roe versus Wade was intended, in her words, quote, to reduce growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of, end quote, it makes no sense, she said, as a national policy to promote birth only among poor people, end quote. Ginsburg's too many of poor people is a code for too many poor minorities, end quote. And yet we have those across America that are weeping and bemoaning the fact that she's going to be replaced by Amy Coney Barrett. And for our listeners, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you jump in the dialogue of the discussion about these issues that are fundamental to our faith. It is the countdown to freedom. We're going to have freedom or we're going to have anarchy and dictatorship in America after the November the 3rd election. The choice is yours. What do you think? What are your thoughts? What are your intentions? How are you going to vote? Are you going to vote for Biden? I'd love to hear from you if you are. I'd love to hear your rationale on that. Greg, talk about this issue now of the nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, that's been nominated by President Trump. What is the potential? How should it be handled? Let me just first say this. I believe that through the Senate that Mitch McConnell has the authority as the head of the Senate, that he can call the Senate together. He could introduce the nominee, the name of the nominee. He could then immediately have someone make a motion that we have cloture, and that is the closing off debate. A second of that, a voting on cloture, and then immediately vote on the nominee without going through the debate where she has already been demeaned. I believe she's been demeaned and her reputation besmirched enough in 2017 that she shouldn't be required to go through that again. Tell us your thoughts and the process that we believe would be the right process to have her seated on the U.S. Supreme Court.
She has already, as you've stated, she has already been through this process. They've already alleged, I believe, all that they can allege. Now, you know, if we're connecting a title and, you know, property were sold last year, do we need to do a 100-year title search, or can we just update the title? I think we can just update the title. So let's update the title Miss Amy. Let's say, is there something, if you're going to bring up anything, Mr. and Miss Senator, is there anything that she's done in the past, oh, let's say 9 months, that you're really, really upset with and want to ask her a question about? Otherwise, we're going to skip to the next questioner. And quite frankly, there's no requirement constitutionally that we have the judiciary go through a series of question-answer. They can literally take it straight to the Senate floor. This is a Mitch McConnell. This is a Mitch McConnell decision. I'm a little upset with Lindsey Graham right now. He says we're going to begin hearings on the 12th. I say let's begin here. If we're going to have them, let's start hearings today. Lindsey Graham. Yes. You understand how this works. The Democrats will do everything they can to throw a wrench into the gearworks and slow this down. Knowing that they're going to slow it down, you need to speed things up. If you know that you have to cross the finish line at point zero, well, we don't wait until the clock has almost gotten to that point. Go ahead and get this thing done. We know that she's eminently qualified, and unless we find out that sometime in the past 9 months she's become an axe murderer, you know, then pretty well she ought to, as a qualified candidate, be installed. Now, keep in mind, Republicans over and over and over have given enormous support to Democrat nominees. I think even Ginsburg received like 90-something votes, wasn't it? I mean, it is on the left that you find an unwillingness to accept the eminent qualifications of a candidate. They are willing to call Kavanaugh a serial rapist in order to try to bring him down as a nominee. He was probably, in my lifetime, he got the worst Borking in my lifetime. You know, Kavanaugh did, because, I mean, as much as they hated Bork, as much as Thomas, they got him pretty good. He called it a high-tech lynching.
That was done by Joe Biden. Joe Biden was the head of the Judiciary Committee when he tried to destroy that justice, and he called it a high-tech lynching.
Isn't it amazing these things have come full circle? The individuals like Joe Biden that set the horrendous treatment train into progress, he eyes where that sort of high-tech lynching comes back to potentially bite you, because the whole world's seeing this. They see the abuses of the left, the incessant, it seems like, abuses of the left. I think if we see what I expect will be a Trump landslide victory, it will not be because, I mean, Trump's a really good president. Matter of fact, policy-wise, he's exceeded my greatest expectations. He's, you know, better than 90% score is what I would give him on policy. Now, he's been fought every step of the way and lied about every step of the way. The media has been on assault, in full-blown assault mode from the time he came down the golden escalator. It's been nonstop abuse. Every single day.
We're going to have to wrap this up. Our time's just about dissipated, but one of the things that our listeners need to understand, Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's what we need to understand, that as Christians, we need to take a stand. Greg, we've got about 15 seconds. Take that and challenge our listeners to vote for Donald Trump before the election time is out.
Listen, I've got an excoriation for Never Trumpers. If you folks think you're a Never Trumper, I want you to know what Never Trump defined is. Never Trump is never secure America's borders, never defend life, never put America first, never appoint constitutional original of justices and judges, never be energy independent, never reduce tax burden, never reduce bureaucratic red tape, never have a robust economy, never support American jobs and industry, never stand with Israel, never protect religious liberty. Yeah. Don't be Never Trump, because you'll be never all those other things. Get out, vote, participate, be a part.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.